Blog Talk Radio.
Engulfs you, you can look to his word to find peace and light. Let it remind you that with all the bad comes the good. Let him lead you from the shadows and pull you into the light that is his word. I want to thank you for joining us this Sunday for a shared sermon with Pastor Kent. Let the words he shares with you live on in your hearts and minds and get you through the upcoming week. And remember this, here at God's Rainbow Ministries, we love you all. It's not about your sexuality. It's about your relationship with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you very much, Tony. It's a wonderful opening prayer. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into some praise and worship music. Okay, to get it started. Here we go.
Thank you. Thank you.
a kind of godly fear is a good fear, and when you start answering to the highest power in the universe, your life will explode with blessings, miracles, and you'll begin to walk in the favor of God Almighty. Second point, receive instruction is very important in the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us needs to change. The Lord's ways are higher than our own. Once again, listen to a different prophet as he wrote, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, change is a must in our kingdom living. If you want the blessing of miracles and God's favor, then we have to learn to receive instruction from our heart, from our leaders, from others, and especially our spouse. Story time. My wife and I were running a youth service at a church when one of the youth came in and my spouse's face changed. Her spirit was troubled. It was a sermon of my own. I went to my beloved to find out what it was she was troubled in the spirit. She said, I do not know the young teen that came in, but she has a spirit of adultery upon her. The next day when the young teen came into my classroom, I asked her, "Why do you carry the spirit of adultery?" The young teen started crying, and she explained how her mother was having an affair with one of her teachers. She explained how her house was divided as her mother and father were going through a divorce. Later, she explained how the Lord convicted her about her stealing her best friend's boyfriend. See, the spirit of adultery was on her as well. As a cycle of generational curses, the Lord wanted to break all cycles of adultery off of this young lady. Each one of us has to receive instruction from the Word of God and from each other. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the conscience of his friend. Notice with those who receive instruction from others, their faith will be changed for the better. Each one of us must search out souls and memories to find out the problem or why we do not like to receive correction. We must learn to go through the process. Only when we embrace the process will real godly change be found. Third point, cut off. The Lord is a God of true justice, and he will cut off those people who try to persecute you. Let the Lord defend you. I'm a witness of how the Lord will change the hearts or remove the hearts who speak against the children. Story time again. One time a staff member lied against me. I told the Lord, "Please, Lord, you know my heart and my true motives, so I trust you." Heard what they said. 2 weeks later, the staff person resigned and moved on. Praise the Lord. And all the time, a boss of mine changed their mind and they threw me under the bus, so to speak. Again, I simply looked up and trusted in the Lord. 1 month later, the boss retired and my problems were removed. So thank you, Jesus. The fourth point, corrupted. Over and over, we see the truth of God's heart. We are to walk upright with the Lord. But you and I see the many people working on their cell phones. Walk through any retail store, you'll see people stealing from their employer. They steal pens, they will steal time, they will steal merchandise. Talk to anyone working in the mall, and their biggest problem is employee theft. One morning, I saw a person come into the unit and clock in, and only to turn around and leave to drop off her children at daycare. The person right behind her came into work only to sit down in the break room to eat their breakfast. Christian Masonic should not be. Another story, I was at my new place of employment. I had a desk chair but no computer. As I walked through the warehouse, I saw a pallet of new computers, and my mind was a great battle. The battle was grab a new computer, take it to your office, and you would not be stealing since these computers belong to the company. Yes, all this was, as I walked through the warehouse, the thought of no more went through my mind when I was repenting again. Then I began to laugh as a man of God thought about stealing. Listen, believer, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, we win when we take every thought captive, when we cast wrong thinking down and if it is contradicted to the Word of God. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, "Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for the plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour them all my indignation, all my fierce anger, and all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." See, the Lord begins with, wait for me. The true judgment of God is coming, but we must wait for it. sometimes people do us wrong, and if we will wait on the Lord, you will see his judgment resting upon our lives. You may notice for a while the person seems to get away with murder, but I'm here to tell you, wait for it. King David saw a beautiful woman in Bathsheba. He found out she was married, but the king called for her anyway. After his one-night stand with her, she sent notice to the king she was with a child. King David decided the best thing to do was summon her husband from the war. David thought one, he'd come home and slept with his wife. This would solve everything, but Bathsheba's husband did not go into his wife. His wisdom was how could he not go into his wife while his men were in battle? So King David's problem did not go away. Bathsheba's husband went back to the battlefield. King David came up with a plan B. He commanded the troops to place her husband in the front line and then withdraw everyone. Her husband was killed by the enemy troops. Now the king could marry Bathsheba. Bathsheba was pregnant, and soon after marriage, they remarried. The baby was born and soon became very sick. Nathan, the kingdom prophet, came to King David and told him a parable. David was so mad, he told Nathan, the man should be punished. Nathan said, you are that man. Many knew about what King David did. He will defend us. He will defend the widow. He will defend the orphan, too. In our current culture, we have many divorces. Even in church, we have many divorces. But men and women forget the Lord truly weighs the motive of each heart. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Do you see the promise of God? Simply make sure the Lord reveals your true motive in your current situation. Do you let the Lord into your heart and do you pray? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. As you read, the psalmist allows the Lord to search his heart. Allow the Lord to search your heart, and let him search deeply into the true intent of your motives. A equals, as you wait on the Lord, let him inside all your choices. And the Lord's second point in verse 8, Zephaniah opens his heart, and God, who will gather the nations together to judge them. And in the last days, this is going to happen. The nations will be judged, and God's wrath will be poured out. But this is not the Lord's heart. God's heart is to gather his children so that they can belong to the kingdom of God. Christian or messianics or God wants to gather his children under his wings. Keep me as apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Yes, how sweet is it when we find the Lord's presence. These ungodly nations will find the day of their judgment, and the Lord's day of judgment is real and is full of fire. The Lord designed hell for the final judgment of Satan and his demons. The Lord did not design hell for you and me. If we end up in hell, we paddle our own boats there. The Lord designed for each of us to choose the Lord's redemptive plan, which runs through Jesus. The Lord desires every nation, every person will choose life, not death. The Lord has a plan to save us. As for hell, which is a real place, Isaiah wrote, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth, it raised up from their thrones, and all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and the worms will cover you. Yeeks, I do not want to go to this place because of pride, because of being a practicing liar, or for any other reason. Even Jesus taught a parable about hell and the flames of hell or Hades. Listen to this with your spiritual ears. When Jesus taught in parable, these stories are parallel truths. So this is truth you can know and understand the truth about hell. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. Hell fires are real, and they are designed for evilness, which is the sight of a non-believing person in each non-believing nation. So King David wrote, why do nations rage and people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break the bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. So he who sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree of the Lord has said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. So look, we win for our king reigns from the holy mountain Zion. Get your eyes off the nations and off your situation. I read at the end of the book, we win. The Lord provides each of us a bridge which runs through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is the answer for every nation. This is our answer too. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and only through him can we go to the Father. Nation after nation has drifted away from the Lord, hence all the violence, wars, and battles of words. Okay, we are all... If we all would repent and believe in who God says he is, we could experience peace. Jesus was an advocate for justice for sinners and for every person, no matter their race. The Jewish people separated from the world, and they even crossed roads so that they would not have to encounter sinners. Jesus turned the tables as we should too. Jesus stopped and healed leprous people. Jesus did not avoid them. And then there was a Samaritan woman, and Jesus blew her mind that he would talk to a woman. And a woman who was a Samaritan. We too should change the culture of our family, our city, or our state. Jewish people would not talk to Samaritans, and they would not talk to a woman. Story time again. My first education on different cultures came from my parents. We opened our home to a Spanish foreign exchange student. Next, my parents opened their home to two Englishmen who were in the area for a National Boy Scout Jamboree. They were surprised at how much land my parents had. My parents had 2 acres of land, about a third for growing our own vegetables. The men were housed in our basement, and in our basement we had another freezer. Our guests opened it and saw we had it full of frozen beef. It was the summertime, and my dad barbecued steaks at night, and we had full corn on the cob. They never had a full steak, and they never ate corn on the cob. Their steak and their corn is always canned meat and canned corn. We laughed as we showed them how to eat corn on the cob. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are religious. For as I was passing through the considering the objects of your worship, I found an altar, and it was this inscription, To the unknown God. Therefore, the one who worshiped without knowing him, I proclaim to you. Paul was in a different culture as he walked around until he found the right connection. He used the cultural ideas to advance the kingdom of God, so it is for you and me. Another story. While getting my master's degree in psychology, I saw a man from China. As I walked near him, I invited him to my house for dinner. He came in, ate a meal with my family, and after dinner, I brought out my artwork. And he asked questions about the drawings and paintings, and I was allowed to lead him to the Lord. He told me it was like all my life I've lived in a dark room. You have opened the window, and now I see the light. Then I opened the Bible we read. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him, but he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him to them, he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. After this, we read again from the Gospel of John. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in his name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So But what this did, placing the word of God before him, cemented all of which was said earlier. He and his wife and his son eventually came to the USA to preach for his education. Lee Sue and his family started attending an Asian church in the city. Some plants, some water, and some harvest. I harvest, but now someone else disciples. Salvation came to a man from China and all from the expansion of God's kingdom. So let me recap what you learned from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Wait for God. Even when someone sins against you, understand God is your friend, and so live to please the big JC. God will gather everyone in every nation for his true judgment. This day is coming. Are you ready for his return? Fire. Hell is real, and the fires of hell torment will paddle their own boats to Hades. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. For then I will restore to the peoples of pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. Before we start, let us talk to the Father of God. In other words, let us pray. Lord, thank you for granting each of us your grace. Next, ask for you to follow the words in this verse. We ask for a spirit of oneness to be forged in our hearts. Finally, we ask for your presence to drip onto every word in this chapter. Open our spiritual minds, hearts, and souls to hear what you are speaking to each of us today. Lord, we welcome your spirit to fill our hearts with your presence, wisdom, love, and joy as you give each of us understanding. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So come with me as we read Zephaniah 3:9 to find great spiritual truths. Let us also see the main three points. For then I will restore the peoples of pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. I want you to see three major points as we study this verse. The first point is the restoration of a pure language. What Zephaniah wrote is powerful and true. What language does Zephaniah talk about? Let us turn to Scripture to explain its proper words. I will approach this in two different ways. First, Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark the following. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the goodness of God is about new kingdom and how to live in this kingdom. To live in this kingdom, you need to know the kingdom's language, which is our Bible. Reading our personal Bible is of utmost importance. Today, Christians and Messianics are what I call Bible poor. Oh, they have Bibles, but they do not read to gain understanding, hence they are led astray. So partner with me as we see what is important to know for yourselves of what it says in your Bible. One example is found in the book of Joshua. The Lord spoke to Joshua about this idea of the importance of knowing God's word in your life. Listen to the words of God. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong, of good courage, and do not be afraid nor dismayed? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The word law refers to what we call the Bible, the precepts of the Lord. The word law also references to the voice of God that was given to Moses. Moses is one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. He is attributed for writing the following, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. See, Joshua is the next book in our Bibles, and the Lord told Joshua to make the promise of God's word the confession of his mouth. The understanding of these verses is if you want to be successful and prosperous, you have to change the confession of your mouth. Oh, my God, if you want to prosperous and successful, you need to change the confession of your mouth. This is pure language of God. Currently, we live in a society governed by new outlets and social media and is all negative. Negative confessions of many people is leading us to be bankrupt with our personal thought life. The confessions of one's mouth is how the kingdom of God operates. King Solomon said, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, as you can read for yourself, the pure language of God must be confessed from our lips. So listen and think. Divorces are increasing in numbers and numbers. Marriages between man and another man are increased too. Marriages Nation to Laura, sent to young girls and young boys is also increasing. The kidnapping of girls and boys who will also be sold as sex slaves is also on the phrase. Why is this? All these levels of sin happen because what is wrong is now called right, and what is right is now called wrong. So listen to Dr. Luke as he recorded what he heard Jesus say. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart is his mouth speaks. See, all these sin issues are wrapped as freedom of the press or freedom of religious dogmas. Once they remove prayer from the schools, once they approve of apparitions, and once they remove the Ten Commandments from public squares, sin is now running unchecked. Jesus tells us a good tree produces good fruit. Jesus tells us also a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And Jesus gives us understanding in each case it's a matter of heart. So what is in your heart, good or bad? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Today, the true call of God is drawing many of us to change our confession by changing what is in our hearts. Positive confession of our hearts will change everything. If we confess the promise of God, we can be successful and prosperous. This is not my words, but the true words of the Bible. Story time. When I was young and attending school, I was removed from the classroom for reading and math since I was behind in both areas. The confession of my heart was I was stupid. This childhood thought began ruling my adult life. But through God's word, my positive confession changed my mindset. See, the Lord told me, I do not make junk, son. You are made in my image. What the Lord calls good is good indeed. My confession had to change, for I am made in the image of God himself. And we know the Lord doesn't make junk. Everything in my life began to change. As my confession changed, what I found out was success and prosperity for everywhere I worked started promoting me. The Lord told Joshua the following, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The principle of the kingdom of God is if you want to be strong, courageous, and prosperous, then you must change your language and accept the pure language of the Bible. If you do not know the Bible, then you will not have much success. Many believers and followers of Christ Jesus do as they have been told. They do not read the Bible for themselves. When you know your Bible, you cannot be tricked to go into different directions. Story time once again. I was attending a church and a man had written a book of when the Lord was going to return. Now, if you know your Bible, then you know even Jesus does not know when the Lord is going to return. But the vast majority of the church came out to hear his words and buy his book. The kingdom of God, which Jesus is talking about, operates with this pure language. And we add this to our personal confession of God's promise by Noah's Bible. Within the word of God are the king's promises. So if you do not know this pure language, you will not understand how the kingdom of God functions. God's kingdom operates within the perimeters of this word, the Holy Bible. Another aspect of Zephaniah's point, the pure language is found in the book of Acts. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In this portion of Scripture, the first time tongues is used represents the fire which fell from heaven was as small as a person's tongue. We believers cannot take but a small piece of God's presence. And then once the small piece of God's holy fire indwells a person, they spoke in a new language, a pure language, where our spirit within us speaks directly to God. The pure language here is a special language found in tongues. the day of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of First Fruits, those in the upper room spoke in a new pure language called tongues, and these 120 people were God's first fruits. Let us learn about the pure language of God, the Holy Spirit taking to the Lord. Paul also writes in Corinthians in the following, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more than prophesies, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Unless indeed he interprets, the church may receive edification. Apostle Paul explains to each of us the issue of tongues as valuing when we speak in tongues. We are edifying ourselves, but when we are church to prophesy, it is better for being God's voice will warn, edify, and comfort to those in the church. And we should pursue love, and we are desire spiritual gifts for the edification of all. Second point in our Zephaniah 3, verse 9, is to call in the name of the Lord. Call in the name of the Lord from the secret place, where he lives and hears us, and is very important. Calling on the name of the Lord because he is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. And always remember, God is never a problem. He is your answer. Excuse me, I had to get a sip of water. We have in Mount Carmel history of Elijah this adventure calling in the name of the Lord. Listen, therefore let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut in pieces, lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah challenged the false prophets of Baal to call on the name of their God. Elijah then told them, I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the one who answers in fire is the true God. So listen to the words written in our Bible, same chapter. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Okay, hear me, that these people may know that you are Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their face, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Elijah called on the name of the Lord, and calling on him, the name of the Lord will gain us victory over any problem or troubles you might be in. Listen, do not call upon man or a woman to save you, but call upon the name of the Lord. Do not call on denominations to come and save you, but call upon the name of the Lord. The third and final point in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, is one accord or unity. This point might be the most needed in our fractured churches as men fight and try to rip the bride's dress. Yes, the church belongs to the Lord, and unity is how the church will grow. But men are also so quick to desire to have others follow them instead of following Jesus. Story time again. I have many stories to share, but one stands out. As a Christian teacher at a Christian school, I knew the value of unity or operating in one accord. The pastor of a local church and Christian school ruled everyone from a place of childhood defilement. He made many decisions in which I knew my heart was wrong. But Matthew chapter 18 clearly tells us how to go about conflict. When the pastor had a moment of quietness, I stepped into his office. There in his office, I spoke about the choice he was making. Nothing changed, but I did point out his error. The next day, a male parent stopped me and asked to speak with me. He went into an empty classroom and he explained what was bothering him. He spoke the same points I did to the pastor. But one accord is the utmost importance, and I said the Lord gave the school to the pastor. If the Lord gave it to me, I would run it differently. If the Lord differently too. But while you and I are here, we need to help carry out the vision of the Lord gave the pastor. Christians, this was not easy, but 1 1/4 for staying in a unit is a must for all of us. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Ephesian church. And therefore the prison of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called in lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So unity is the utmost importance in the body of Christ. One accord that brings down the presence of God. Do you hear this? Do you want to walk in the supernatural? The only way our churches can operate to their highest potential is operating in unity, peace, and oneness. King Solomon built the temple of God, and through the dedication process, 120 singers and musicians came together in unity and listened to what happened. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the most holy place. For all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves by keeping to the divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, and all those asked on Haman and the Judas with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east and end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard as praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice and trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord fulfilled the house of God. The temple was filled with the presence of God. This should be the ultimate goal of every believer. When they come to church, when we make one sound on purpose, the glory of God will fill our churches. I will change the hearts of all. Amen. This concludes our sermon for today, so let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for guiding us on all your ways with power from on high. We thank you that again and again you have led us through the darkness on the path of light. Looking back, we cannot be thankful enough. Lord, may our hearts turn to you and be filled with quiet certainty in all we are still awaiting, Lord. Remember us in many who lie under heavy bondage, Lord. Let the time come when you will bring a great deliverance to those who are in darkness, Lord. When we can find meaning for our lives and all that happens, Lord, knowing that you have been faithful in everything, Lord. You have done more than we ask, Lord, more than we can understand, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this brings us to the most important question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because in a moment I will give you a chance to. But let me ask you, are you tired of living the way you are, not knowing which way is up or down? Okay, your days are confused, wondering what's going on. Okay, you do not know where to go. Okay, you're lost but needing to be found. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe something worse, as addiction to drugs or alcohol, okay, or sexual immorality, gambling, overeating, gaming, okay, internet addiction, whatever it may be, see, the Lord can take it away, but guess what, folks? In order for him to do so, he's got to know you. So I ask you, are you tired of living the way you are? If so, okay, say this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I'm so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on a cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come. come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior today. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, I'm going to play a song here. Okay, well, I'm going to play some more music. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the sermon today. I hope you got a lot from it. You were blessed by it. Okay, amen.
Watching you arrive.
to you and you got something from it, okay, I'm going to bring on Tony up for a closing prayer.
Not so much a prayer, just a blessing that all of you stay safe and keep yourselves out of trouble until we meet again, which will be Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Same godly time, same godly channel, as always. And may his light and his love bring you peace and happiness until our paths do cross again. So in his name, bless you all.
Amen. Yes, God bless you all. Okay, may you have a blessed evening, okay, and night. May you sleep peacefully.